upon the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change, and you're down in the faith when we're up on the mountain,
but talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations that's when faith put to the test. For the God of the mountains is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in
good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night.
That's a wonderful song. Boy, the music has today has just ministered to our hearts. Outstanding. Thank you so much for that. There's something wrong with this, so we'll try to get this straightened out here. 2 Chronicles 32. In fact, I'm going to ditch this, and we'll go to the pulpit mic this morning, because if this doesn't bother you, yeah, that's better. All right, thank you, Tom. 2 Chronicles 32. So you find that scripture in the Old Testament there, and then we go to verses 24, 25, and 26. Now that's sounding more normal, isn't it? All right, very good. You're hearing okay out there? That was really strange at the beginning. So 2 Chronicles 32. Now we're back to the other. So we'll just go with this today since we can't get this worked out. Okay, if I leave the pulpit, I'll just yell louder, all right? Give me the sound, the normal sound on this microphone right here this morning, okay? The normal sound today. 2 Chronicles 32, if you are able to stand, let's do that in honor of God's word today. 2 Chronicles 32, and I'll begin reading with verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, the Lord did, and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself with the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now, this is not my sermon this morning, but I want you to realize that the wrath of God came on the Jewish people. Nonetheless, that's God's business, not man's. That's why we stand solidly with Israel in this war. okay? That's God's people living in the land that God gave them.
Right.
And don't forget that, okay? Because world opinion, in my estimation, world opinion is going to swing the longer this thing goes. But we're going to stick with God and his book above all else. God does discipline his children, and he brings wrath upon his people. And he's done that more than once in history. Remember, it was Jews who stood at the cross of Christ and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Boy, those are heavy words. And God's anger but that's God's business, not man's, okay? But I want to speak this morning from the whole story here, but I'm taking my title from verse 25. I want to preach on the benefit. Do you see that? The benefit. Our Father in heaven, we do pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for their safety. We pray that you will, Lord, stand with them and help them. I pray that this will be short-lived. I'm not sure that it will, but I can certainly ask you to intervene. I pray, oh God, for your will to be done. And sometimes it's difficult for us to wrap our mind around everything, but we trust you. You are a good and right Father. And a God that sits on the throne of all that is. We come to you this morning. We're glad that we can come into your presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that you now will help us as we look into your book. Lord, would you teach us today? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us to go home with something that we can sink our teeth into? And maybe it'll make this week a little better than last. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Hezekiah, king of Judah, he oversaw one of the great turnarounds in the nation of Judah's history. That is, the nation was spiraling downward spiritually. And when he became king, Hezekiah instituted some changes that literally reversed that direction. Now, he did many good things. He operated under the stress of a threatened war, and God helped him mightily. God blessed him, and Hezekiah goes down in the history of Judah as one of the best, if not the best king, to sit on the throne. And that being said, the best of men are, you know it, men at best. And there are very few men written about in the Bible that escape the exposure of one flaw. You know why that is, people? Because we're all flawed people. We're all flawed people. That's the nature of mankind. We are crippled by the sin nature. We inherited at birth, and we will not be rid of it until we see Jesus. And praise God, a flawless eternity awaits us if we're saved. Until then, even when we do something noteworthy for the Lord, our flesh can rise up and tarnish it somehow. And that's what happened to the man, Hezekiah. I'm going to stop. Now, I am paranoid about the sound. Is it loud out there? It is a little loud out there, all right? And is it okay? Y'all hearing all right? Because now I'm paranoid about it because of all that at the beginning. Look at verse number 24. Hezekiah is sick to the death, all right? Now, we're not going to turn there, but over in 2 Kings chapter 20, you got a companion passage of Scripture there. And the Bible says that God sent Isaiah the prophet, son of Amoz, to Hezekiah with this message, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And that came from Isaiah. Now, he's a pretty renowned prophet in that day, okay? So he shows up and he gives that message to Hezekiah. That is a startling statement coming from the prophet of God. And Hezekiah got real serious, real quick when it came to his prayer life. Isn't that how you and I do? When bad news comes, we get real serious real quick. And God gave Hezekiah an additional 15 years of life. Think about that. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, we were talking about the charismatic movement and the Jews require a sign. You know what Hezekiah asked for? A sign. Because he's Jewish. He's got to see something in order to believe that what God said was valid. It's a shame, but that's how it is. The Jews require a sign. Remember what the sign was? Isaiah told him, said, well, he said, we can let the sundial go back 10 degrees, 15, or what was it, 10 degrees? I think 10 degrees. You can let the sundial go back 10 degrees, or you can let the sundial go down 10, go ahead 10 degrees. And Hezekiah said, it won't be anything if it goes forward 10 degrees, and it needs to go back. And the sun moved back 10 degrees. And that was the sign to Hezekiah the Jew that requires a sign that this was valid word of God, okay? So he's going to get 15 extra years. Now, can you imagine getting an answer to prayer of that magnitude? It's a specific answer. He's given life. Lord, let me live. Specific. It was an abundant answer because he wasn't just given a year or two. You know, the doctors sometimes say, well, you get an extra year. He was given 15 years. Now, look, from your deathbed to 15 more years of life, that's quite an answer. That's a pretty good answer, okay? But here's the flaw. Hezekiah did not use those 15 years as he should have. Did not. Now, I want to talk about three things this morning pertaining to this story. First of all, I want to point out to us today, Hezekiah's been to God, but Hezekiah dropped the ball. You would think that during those 15 years, not one day would pass without Hezekiah remembering that that specific day, that very day, was a benefit from God Almighty. Every one of them for 15 years. Every day during those 15 years was a benefit to him. Every laugh he shared with his wife. Every joy he shared with his children. Every moment with his grandkids. Every morsel of tasty food. Every sunrise. Every sunset. Every accomplishment as king. Every one of those and more took place in 15 years. And you would think that not one day, not one of those would pass without Hezekiah being mindful of the benefit. I'm supposed to be dead, but I'm alive. You would think that, wouldn't you? What should have been was his death. Instead, there was life and health for 15 years. People, those are vastly different outcomes. And Hezekiah's life should have reflected a rendering for God's benefit. All right, how does this relate to us? Well, you should be ahead of me on that one. How does that relate to us? Have we been the recipients of any of God's benefits? Is that not a ridiculous question? That's a ridiculous question. What are we going to start with, folks? How about salvation, the forgiveness of sins, being justified, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed, our sins remembered against us no more, buried in the depths of the sea, removed as far as the east is from the west. Amen. I've said before, but I just enjoy talking about it, that north to south is a measurable distance. If you start walking north, you're going to come to a point in time where you're going to start walking south. You can start walking south and for a time, and you're going to come to a point where you start walking north. That's a measurable distance. But if I start walking west and keep walking west until I find where the east meets the west, I'm going to walk around and around and around and around and And our book does not say that God removed those sins from us as far as the north is from the south, but from the east and the west. Amen. That is a benefit.
Amen.
A big one. And then we talk about heaven. No more worries about the fires of hell. Eternal peace as opposed to eternal torment. Eternal life in heaven. No eternal death in hell. How about a Bible to teach us, to guide and direct our steps? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. How about the Holy Spirit inside of us to comfort us and convict us and teach us and guide us and empower us for victory over sin? Benefits.
Amen.
Benefits. And that list does not include the tangible benefits of a spouse, of having children, friends living in America, our daily provisions. Benefits, benefits, benefits. God is displeased with Hezekiah because he failed to render according to the benefit. The. I just listed how many that we enjoy that we haven't even touched the hem of the garment this morning. Too numerous to count, too many to comprehend. Have we failed like Hezekiah? Have we failed to render to God according to his benefits? What's salvation worth? What price tag can you put on it? What's heaven worth? What's not going to hell worth? What's this book worth, right? What's this book worth to us? While the world is falling apart in confusion and chaos, I'm standing on the solid rock. Do we approach every day with the attitude of how can I render to God according to the benefits I have received? How many of us ever approach life from that perspective? Am I rendering to God? I'm not rendering to man, although I'm not sure that that's so bad. If somebody's been good to you, it's not bad to render back. We're talking about God. We're talking about things that you and I could not begin to have without them coming from his hand. Are God and his benefits ever in our thoughts when it comes to our decisions? Are the benefits we have received ever considered when making life's decisions? Do the benefits God has given me, given you, ever play into what we do or don't do, where we go or don't go, what we watch or don't watch, what we say or don't say? Do we ever live out according to the benefits that God has given us? Amen. May God help us, right? And those are fair questions, folks. With each decision and choice we make, we should consider if it is a proper rendering to God for the benefits he has given us. If he's given you a godly wife to walk by your side, why would you render back to him a pornographic website? Why? Why would you render back to God sin for all the benefits he's bestowed upon?
Amen.
God, help us. 1986, Dennis Lackender and I, a member at the church there, were up in Iowa City visiting on a Thursday night, and we went to the near the University of Iowa, which we did just about every week for the last 5 years of my ministry there and as assistant pastor, and knocked on the door, and a man from India came to the door, found out he was a PhD teaching in the dermatology department at the University of Iowa, and it was 2 days after the Challenger blew up. Remember the Challenger explosion? And so it was 2 days after that. And we began to visit with him. He was very friendly. And I had the privilege of taking a Bible and showing Abraham William how to be saved. One of the most unemotional conversions I've ever been a part of. Yep, I believe. Yep, okay, all right, understand. Yep, okay, yes, I do. Yep, okay, yes, I'd like to be saved. Okay, Lord, yes, come. Yes, did I mean that? Yes, I meant that. Okay. I left and told Dennis he didn't get it. Like I know who gets it and who doesn't get it, right? He got it.
Amen.
He got in church. Dr. Mike Hall was pretty much responsible for getting him down to church every Sunday. Mike and Cindy and the family were living up. Mick was born during that time period and bringing Abraham down. And the kids worked on him, Vanessa and Tara. They would memorize scripture in the van coming down. Got Abraham memorizing scripture. Do you know what? Now that man's a part of was Ed Bragg was his pastor for years and years. Now your brother's his pastor. Dear man, you know what he has? The constant theme in the conversations with him over these years, the constant theme of his conversation is, how can I render back to God for all he's done for me?
It puts me under conviction to even talk to him sometimes. How can I render back to God? After Dad went to heaven, he drove all the way up here from St. Louis, came into the house, stayed for maybe an hour, ate a meal with us just to tell us that he was sorry and to thank us. He's constantly on his mind. How can I render to God according to the benefit done to me? That's a good question. Amen. And that was Hezekiah's failure. He did not repay back to God for the benefit that God, 15 years of physical life. And he didn't return to God what he should have. That was Hezekiah's failure. Number two, I want to point out quickly the cause of Hezekiah's failure. Look again at verse number 25. We don't have to guess. For his heart was lifted up. There it is. Boil it down to one word. What is it, folks? Pride. Pride got the best of him. The previous verses in the chapter give an account of what led to his heart being lifted up with pride. Look at verse number 1. You're in chapter 32 here. Look at verse number 1 here, okay? And you get the setting. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Look at verse 7 and 8. Now Sennacherib is not just going to take this. He's coming to Jerusalem. Verse 7, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, this is what God is telling Hezekiah. For the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Look at verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That's still true today. That's not the theme of my message, but folks, how in the world do you explain that little piece of land surrounded by enemies even existing? How do you explain that? That little piece of land. I'll tell you how you explain it. God's with them. And he said, 10 will chase 1,000. Read it. It's in the book. I'm not putting my stamp of approval. Everything the Jews do is right. No. We'd live in a country with liberal Jews that are as wicked as all get out. But they're God's people. They're God's people. How does that happen? I don't know. God's with them. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So he said, hey, look at verse number 9. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, he gives this big, long speech. And then verse 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven, Lord, they're coming after us. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was coming to the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his own kids, slew him there with the sword. Excuse me, who was it that sent the angel that cut off all the mighty men? God did that. Look at verse 23. Verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah. Look at verse 23. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations. Hezekiah. Magnified in the sight of all the nations. Why was that, folks? Here, listen, look. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 20. Sennacherib had conquered nation after nation after nation whose gods could not help them. But he met his match when he came against the God of Israel. No contest. And, but what did they, these nations, they did. Oh, Hezekiah, Hezekiah. You know what? Unfortunately, all the magnification that should have been deflected to God was kept within himself. Oh, Hezekiah. No, that's not his. The Lord gave us that victory. Oh, Hezekiah. No, that was the Lord's doing. No, that was the Lord. Oh, that was Jehovah God. No, that wasn't that. That's what you do with praise, folks. You deflect praise.
Amen.
You don't start believing it. You don't start believing it. Hezekiah kept it within himself. He knew who was responsible for the victory over Assyria. He knew who was responsible for his healing and those additional 15 years of life. He knew it, but somehow he let it lift himself. Oh, we have to, look, don't be too hard on Hezekiah. It doesn't take too much for any of us to get lifted up in pride. You know why? Because the root of pride is in our hearts, according to Jesus Christ, who said in Mark chapter 7, verse 22, 23, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed pride." Quicker than the blink of an eye, a proudful spirit can cause us to overlook God's benefits and live as if we are responsible for all the things that he's given us. They came from his hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, Paul asked this. Listen to this question. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Well, I work for what I own. I own, I buy with my own money, I work for it. You do. Who gave you that physical ability? Who gave you the mental ability? Who gave you the acuity? Who gave you the propensity to do what you do? Did you order that out of a catalog? I know, you got it from Amazon. Prime came in one day. Those dear people, Brother Harold and Tom sitting right up there, those dear people Mike Sharenza brought in this morning, who walked into that building over there mentally handicapped in 50-year-old bodies with a 4-year-old mind or less, are no different than you and me, but for what God gave us. So before we get to spouting off too big about what I have done, we better remember where it came from.
Amen.
What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You think preachers today can be punchy? That's pretty punchy. Vernacular, why are you playing the big shot? Everything that's yours, you got from him.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you didn't work, put in time and effort. And of course you did. But that all comes from him, folks. Hezekiah defeated a foe that had defeated nation after nation after nation. And he did it without firing a shot. No arrows, no bows, no weapons. And he was living on extended time. How in the world could he allow himself to get to the point where he rendered not according to the benefit he had received? But again, don't be too hard on Hezekiah, because many times it seems that a child of God receives a special benefit from God, and instead of rendering more to God, we render less. It's one of the things that has kind of amazed me over the years, and being in the ministry is to watch people who really get burdened for a specific prayer request. God answers it. And I think to myself, I bet I see them more often in church, but I see them less. What in the world is that? You would think that they received a benefit from God that they asked for. I don't know if I should. I'm not going to use a name, but there's a faithful man here who had a gigantic prayer answered last Sunday morning. A child that has not been in church for years got up last Sunday in a distant state and went to an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Told the man here, just like faith, Dad, reminded me so much of home. Boy, what a benefit. I don't think that man will render less to God. He's been too faithful over the years. But that's exactly what happened to Hezekiah. Would you please give me, and God did, and he did less. I shake my head sometimes. Then I try to look inside and say, hey, how about you? I'm getting a few years down the road. I don't want to end up being less for God than I've been doing. For one reason, because of all the benefits. That's only right. And somehow, some way, pride plays a big part in the attitude that, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do with the time and this and that that God gives me. It's almost like the attitude of entitlement. I deserve this. Let me tell you what we deserve. Hell. Anything beyond that is a benefit from God. Help us, Lord, please, not to fail as Hezekiah did, all right? Help us not to fail with pride at the root of the attitude that does not consider the benefits. If you're here this morning and you're just blowing this off, there's something deep wrong inside. And the root of that is pride. Because every one of us has been the recipient of a benefit. A lot more than that. That's the cause of his failure. His failure, the cause of it. And I'm going to finish with this. How to avoid Hezekiah's failure. This won't be long. Turn to Psalm 116. I'll give you this. We'll be done. Psalm 116. How do we avoid this failure? Okay, Pastor, you've scared me half to death. I don't want to do that. I don't want to render less to God because of all of his goodness and benefits to me. How do I avoid that? Okay. And that's a good, fair, and right question. Okay. Look at chapter 116, book of Psalm, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? That's it. That's the question right there. What can I render? How can I pay back? What can I return to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? And I want you to notice a couple key words in this verse. The first word is the word all. Right? Because now we're not talking about a single benefit. We're talking about what? Multiple benefits. All his benefits. Let me ask you to do something, okay? Let me ask you to do something right now, okay? I'm not going to ask you to give money, okay? Let me just ask you to do something. I'm going to take an offering. Take something. We're not going to take an offering. Take a breath. You just taking a good breath? Do you realize that was a benefit from God? Job 12:10, in whose hand, talking about God, in whose hand is the breath of all mankind. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, to Belteshazzar the king, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Do you realize that in all truthfulness, when you and I, 15, 20, 30 seconds ago, took a single breath, that came from the hand of Almighty God. Amen. Well, I don't know about that. Well, don't put God to the test. And not just the breath, folks. The design of our bodies to use that breath for our life. We go down to our lungs and the oxygen is taken all throughout our body. That all comes from Him. All His benefits, even the breath I take. And then the other word that I want you to notice is the last word, verse 12, the word me. That's personal. Every one of us can substitute our own given name for that pronoun me. Let me ask you to do this. Read that verse, not out loud, but put some emphasis on the last word, me. How many benefits has God sent toward me? Me. Me. That's personal. Next question, do you want to be sure and render to God according to all the benefits He's given you? Surely the answer to that question is yes. Is yes. We can start to render toward God according to all His benefits by just obeying Him. Do you understand how pleased God is with obedience? Amen. Is God any less a father than us dads? What pleases us when our... more than our children just obeying us. Amen. Just obey Him. If you're saved, obey Him by getting baptized. If you're saved and baptism is coming, comes after salvation. After. Amen. That's biblical. If you're saved and baptized, become a member of a local Bible preaching church. If you're a member of a Bible preaching church, be sure and be a part of every service that you can. Put God first in your life. If you're a member of attending faithfully a good local church, seek out a place of service in that church. And do you want to render to God according to all His benefits? Spend some time with Him. Amen. Well, I'm in church. How about tomorrow? How about 10 minutes in your Bible and 5 or 10 minutes just praying to Him? If you want to render something to God, find somebody who needs some help. Amen. Do something for them. Give them the gospel. Ask them if you can pray for them. And look, folks, the benefit. The benefit. He rendered not to God according to the benefit. And God was unhappy. And if you're not saved, if you're not sure that heaven is your home when you die, listen carefully. Look at verse number 13. Look at the first thing he said. When he asked the question in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. If you're not saved, God has already extended to you the gift of salvation. It's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the exclamation point was when He walked out of that grave. Amen. 3 days and three nights later to prove He was God. Now, the gift of eternal life paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is provided for you. Do you want to render to God according to that benefit? Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive Jesus Christ as your only hope of eternal life in heaven, as your only hope of paying that sin debt that you receive, the gift of God. You know, every October is boss's day or month, and the staff this year, they bought me a nice accessory for my truck for boss's day. It's an accessory that will help provide protection and in the time of need. That's as far as I'll go. Now, no, it wasn't a gun, but it was an accessory. Okay? And it'll be very helpful if I'm ever stopped by Hamas supporters. But anyway. If I ever have to go to Chicago, right? You know, what is the best way for me to show my appreciation for what they do? Well, first of all, I said thank you. Right. And then take it and use it. Might be the best way to show appreciation for something that was given. Well, God has offered you the gift of eternal life. If you're not saved, if I was you, I'd take it, receive it, say thank you, and use it. Amen. For his honor and his glory. Amen. Salvation is by faith. Some sitting here this morning may not understand all about the Bible. I get it. But you can understand this. You can believe this. You're a sinner, and Jesus came to this earth to go to that cross, to die, be buried, and rise again for your salvation. Now, you may have a lot of questions about the Bible, but you can believe the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know what I would do if you've never done this? I'd receive that, thank him for it, and put it to good use. The benefit. Now, come on, come on. Don't let it do this today. Okay? Let it go in here, and the Holy Spirit does this. Go in here, ruminate around, take it down here, and this week, determine, I'm going to live my life rendering to God according to the benefit. Benefits that he's given toward me. Let's pray. Father, bless the message to our hearts this morning. And Lord, take it and use it as only you can. And may the power of the Holy Spirit come down any heart that needs it this morning and do a work that only he can do. God, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Give me just a minute or two of your concentration, then we'll have the invitation. How many here today would say, Pastor, thanks for the reminder. I don't want to pull a Hezekiah. I want to be sure and render to God according to the benefits he's given toward me. And God's kind of touched my heart about that this morning. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting today? Yes, my hand goes up with yours. Multitude of hands. Multitude, thank you. We all need this. Wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. But I heard what you said about the gospel. And I get it. The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. I'm not sure that if I died today I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure. If that's you, would you just kindly, just quickly lift your hand in the air? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'll just be honest. I'm not sure I'm saved. I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else, you may take your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't really want to spend eternity apart from God in that awful place. Anybody else? In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I believe people will be coming to the altar to pray. If you're not sure that you're saved, we have men standing down here, two of them. Just come to one of those men and say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm saved. They can have somebody take a Bible and show you the greatest gift ever provided to mankind. It'd be the greatest day of your life. I'm going to pray that many will come and that you will come as well. Any that raise their hand. Father, we cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit. Only he can do that. You've spoken to hearts this morning, and I pray now that you will draw all people to Christ. Lord, touch those of us that we don't want to blow the benefits that you've given to us. We want to use them. And Lord, for any that aren't sure they're going to heaven, Holy Spirit of God, would you please draw them to Christ today? We'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The music begins, a song of invitation. Just step out in the aisle, come right down. I know you're serious about it. I'd like to show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven someday. Would you come? Let us take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Spirit of God visits our hearts. That's mercy. That's grace. If you're here to be baptized today, I think some have already gone back. Would you come? Would you come? We're not talking about making you a Baptist or a member of Faith Baptist. We're talking about eternal life in heaven. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let the Spirit of God help us today. Am I rendering to God according to the benefit He's given to me? Am I rendering to God? Teenager, are you rendering to God? Getting along with your dad and mom? Being friends with other teenagers? Might be a little bit embarrassing, even humiliating. Go home, get you a piece of paper and a pen, and just start writing down the benefits. And just write and write and write and write and write. Write and write and write and write. Oh, my goodness. We'll never do more for the Lord than what He's done for us. The benefit. Have you obeyed the Lord this morning? Have you done what God wants you to do? This is the last verse. Do you need to come? How many thousands of people have walked down an aisle at the end of a church service to trust Christ as Savior and be saved?